Hello guys, Jack here from Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and yes, the rumours are true, we're heading back out on tour in May 2024. 68% of the tickets are already sold out, but there are still a few left at Edinburgh, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Bristol, Bury, and our home city of Norwich. So, don't waste any time, grab your tickets today, and come and watch me, Alfie and Robbie live.
And me.
Mainly me, Alfie and Robbie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
HappyHourLive.co.uk. See you in May.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Jack Makes Happy Hour.
First poddy outside the studio.
First poddy, mate. Like
you're on Tunisia away.
Yeah. There we go. We're straight in. This is Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and what an episode this is going to be. I think I'm sat with a real life superhero.
Thank you, Stevie.
Stevie, that's pretty cool.
You bastard. Right, let's run through some facts real quick before we introduce our guest.
In 1954, Richard Bannister became the first human to run a mile in under 4 minutes.
In 1969, Neil Armstrong became the first human to step foot on the moon.
In 2019, Kipchoge became the first human to run a sub-2-hour marathon.
And here we are today in 2024 with Mr. Russ Cook, who has become the first man to run the length of Africa. Russie boy, first things first, how the fuck are you? How are you feeling?
Right. It's crazy. I'm pretty overwhelmed with it all at the moment. It's not really sunk in.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, it is nuts. Yeah. Right? It's fucking nuts. I can't get over how you're skin and bones, aren't you?
Yeah,
skin and bones.
Man.
Are you feeling all right in yourself?
I feel all right. I do definitely need to start putting some weight back on though, because it's been a long year of just getting my body eating itself,
mate. I can't get over just looking at you in the flesh. Yeah. You're the real life.
I was a bit more chunky last time we spoke.
You were. Are you hungover? Because last night we had the party here.
Yeah, I'm embarrassed to say that I was hungover. I'm hungover on 4 bottles of beer.
Is that what you had? So 4 bottles.
4 bottles of beer. Yeah, and I'm actually hungover on that now.
I had way too much last night. I kind of lost track of everything. Jack left me. Said he was going to get me food, and then just never came back.
Yeah sorry. I was asleep by one. One thing I want to say is, obviously we were at the finish line yesterday, seeing you run in, and we were speaking to a lot of the other runners that were running with you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'm blown away by how many of them said about how you would stop and take photos with everyone on like probably one of the hardest days of your life, and you've still got time for everyone else. How is that, Russ? Because if it was me, mate, I'd be going, sorry, this is my moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm so grateful that everyone came out and, flew to Tunisia to come and run the last bit. Like, I'll take a photo, you know what I mean? Mate, it was the craziest day.
Yeah.
Can't even really think about
it. I can't believe how many people were there.
Mate, me too, man. Honestly, I remember me and Stan were chatting a couple of days ago, and he was like, oh, I reckon there might be like a couple hundred people now. And I was like, nah. Like, no one's flying all the way to Tunisia, like, blah, blah, blah. And then I rocked up, and I was like, that Shell garage first thing. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And then people kept joining all day. So.
Didn't the bloke from Softplay do the whole run?
Full marathon, mate. What a champion. Big shout out to Isaac,
And then he played last night.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Well, Russ, mate, you've been so kind to us. You're going to give us a couple hours today, which I already feel a bit greedy for keeping you, because I know you're out here with your girlfriend and your friends and stuff like that. So let's take it back to the start, mate.
Yeah.
How did you know what to bring over here? Because no one has ever done a feat like this before. Like, how do you know what to pack the van with? How do you know the route?
That's a good question. We spent a lot of time planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we just kind of, right at the start of the mission, it got flipped on its head. Not many people remember that. But like, we were supposed to start from the north and go to the south. And then we couldn't get an Algeria visa. So we ended up shipping like the van and all of our stuff to South Africa. But yeah, I mean, we packed a lot, and then we were like, you know, anything we've missed, we can probably get in South Africa anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
and we kind of just worked from there, really. Yeah.
Well, what about your team? Because is it true, did you meet some of these boys for the first time over here?
What, my team?
Yeah.
So the boys we started with, Jared, Stan and Harry. Harry and Stan were involved for a couple months before, and then we last minute got Jared recruited in.
Right, but I mean, sorry, I mean, you're like, you they come together for the mission. You didn't already know
him. Yeah, no, we weren't mates or anything. I met Stan once on a GeoWizard video. He was on a shoot, we were dribbling a football across the UK.
I love YouTube.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it? But I saw Stan did like 100K shift with a camera. I was like, could use him.
Get
him in.
Yeah, you assembled the Avengers, really.
Yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah.
And then, so you've spent the whole sort of the whole mission with them.
Yeah.
What's
that
like? So are you sleeping in the van every night?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What if you didn't get on with them?
Well, we've had our moments, lad. Nah, honestly, like, you know, the boys, they've put in an unbelievable shift, man. Imagine, you know, it's like, yeah, Stan's been in the entire time. He went on holiday for a month. It's like 352 days on the bounce, editing every day, like
fucking hell.
Yeah, so it's quite the thing.
What's it like sleeping? Talk me through the van. If we walk in the van, what are we seeing?
Yeah, so we've got the van, and we got a 4x4 halfway through as well.
Okay.
So I went into like princess mode, got myself a 4x4, was like, get me out.
You deserve
there.
It.
Yeah, get me out.
You're not being a diva. Yeah. Right?
But yeah, like the van is a, it's an editing station on wheels, it's a house on wheels, it's a everything, you know. It's, I don't know how that thing's made it. It's barely making it out of first gear these days. It took 3 hours to get the 10K from the finish line here last night.
Yeah, it broke down last night.
Yeah, they dragged it here, but I told
you. Probably the right time for it to break down, though. At least you got to the end.
She's really on her last legs. Me and her just have this, like, vibe throughout where, like, her clutch goes, like, my hamstring goes, you know, just synonymous, you know, we're just so intertwined.
Did you have a lot of alone time in that?
In the van?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the 4x4 and on the road, mate, just... Whoa.
I made it sound like I was asking if you wanked a lot in there.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah,
man.
No.
Just checking in on
it. I just meant, like, did you have a place you could get away from the team and stuff?
No, I did, yeah, so that's why I got the 4x4. So I had that, and I was in there. Yeah.
Fair. Now we was actually going to ask about your lovely girlfriend Emily.
She's here.
Just seen you walk in the background, just as we was about
she
to.
She was
ask.
Trying to go undercover, weren't she?
What's that?
Yeah.
Oh, you can bring the bread in. Do you want to bring the bread in? Emily, can we chat to you as well? Oh.
Leaving his family hanging instead of
okay. How are you feeling? How? What was it like? Yeah. Like, it's quite a hard sell saying to the missus, like, oh, I'm going to go away for the weekend. How do you say, I'm just going to pop off to Africa for a year?
Well, it's supposed to be 8 months, so.
Yeah. He's back late,
I'm a bit slow.
I like that you were okay with 8 months. Like, 8 months,
no,
fine.
You know, had something you wanted to do. Got to support people who you love. Don't you?
Oh, that's such commitment, that.
Yeah,
it's a lot,
stuff,
to be fair, it's a lot. But
how often would you guys speak when you was away?
Pretty much every day, right? If I had signal.
Yeah.
She was like the only person I actually speak to. Everyone else, I was like, we'll pick that up in a year. But
yeah.
We'll try and make an effort.
You couldn't have picked this back up in a year, so. You kind of had.
Were you worried? Were you nervous? What was going through your head?
I mean, most of the time I was actually fine because he's pretty good at not worrying me. Probably by just not saying too much, really.
Right.
But I was worried in the Congo and I was worried when he had no signal, but that was kind of it.
Is Russ much different now from when he set off? He's a little bit more vacant behind the eyes, isn't he?
Yeah.
No,
I saw a few photos of me last night. I went, whoa.
Yeah. you're really different. He's still the same, but I think you can't not be changed by something like this, can you?
Mm.
So yeah, there's.
Love it. Well, you got him back now. You got him back. We won't keep him too long today, so we'll let you go.
But, nice to chat.
Yes, cheers. Thank you. How's the bread, mate? How is the bread?
Oh, lovely.
Yeah?
Get that carbs in.
You look like a panda. You look like a panda who's stoned, who's just sort of eating his eucalyptus.
Yeah.
Is that... What am I going on about there?
I don't have a clue.
I don't know. How many days ago did you set off? 352, was it?
353 now.
353.
Yeah.
Right, and that was in South Africa. And we've seen the video. You got the water out of the sea.
Yeah.
What's it like when you those first few steps on that tarmac? When you did you realize the gravity? What was about to? be in front of you?
No, I don't. It was hard. You know, I always kind of knew I was going into the unknown. Like, it's hard to comprehend what's exactly coming up. Mm. But, you know, I was pretty focused business mode there. Just, you know, get the first one under the belt. Just at the start, I was like, really important. Just don't get injured.
Yeah.
For like the first couple months, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was the main focus there.
Right.
What did you have in your bag? Because you're carrying a bag for the runs.
So in my bag, I don't carry a lot. It's mostly just water and a couple of sweeties, maybe.
A couple of sweeties?
Yeah,
a bit of sugar to get you through.
Case, you know, because we, you know, nosedive, get the snacks in, passport, stuff like that. Nothing major.
Well, what did you miss most about home when you're running?
Obviously, Emily. Wherever she's
gone.
She's
gone now, mate.
No, she's gone. No, you know. Yeah, I think Emily, friends, family, the British food. I really miss British food, man.
What's going to be the first thing you eat when you get back?
Oh, mate, everything's getting attacked violently. Doms, Domino's, Greg's. Toby Carvery.
Toby Carvery?
God, I love you. Yeah. Toby Carvery.
Yeah.
Keep it Carvery. I love it. I love a Carvery.
Mate, I can't wait. Actually buzzing for it.
Five guys?
Nah, that's Yank stuff, isn't it? I don't do that.
He wants proper British.
Yeah.
Russ, I don't know if this is a bit intrusive. Can we let's see how skinny you are.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Well, do you want tops off? Yeah,
well, yeah, mate. Whoa, fucking boys. Hell. It's the first time I've ever asked a podcast guest that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. I don't know whether beautiful, I should clap or... I don't know what to
You're
do.
You're quite toned still, though. There's no fat on you, but...
Yeah, you look like a little girl, don't I?
Are you going to... What's the plan? Are you going to go to the gym or...?
Yeah, going to, you know, get some bicep curls in.
Yeah.
Bulking season is upon us, I think.
This is probably going to be a really stupid question, and I don't mean it to be, but is it... Is it easier to run skinnier or is it
100%.
Hard? Is it?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Like, imagine if someone just said, like, here's a 10 kilo backpack, start running with it. You know, that's like kind of what excess body fat is, you know?
Right. Okay.
So the skinnier you get, the more efficient everything
that's
is.
That's my excuse for not doing that.
So easier on the joints and stuff as well, like the ankles and the knees. Like, there's a lot of impact. And if you're chucking like 80, 90 kilos, 100 kilos into that every, you know, 16 however million steps it's been.
Yeah, 16,000 kilometers or
16,300 k's. I think it's like 19 million steps.
19 million steps. Yeah. Fucking hell, it's mad. How many calories you burn in a day?
Towards the end, it was because I was pumping the mileage out quite hard. It's about 8,000, but I think on average it's about 6,000.
And how can you replenish that?
Well, I'm so skinny, bro. Just, my body's just eating itself, you know. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Jesus. I just don't get how you've done it. Like, that's so...
Yeah, me neither, really.
I'm pretty sure 19 million steps is more than anyone will walk in their lifetime.
Do you reckon? I'd be interested to find out, actually.
We do 10,000 steps a day, 365,000 steps a year.
I think the average is about 3,000 steps a day.
Well, that's even less. So, yeah, 19 million steps is probably more than anyone does in their whole life.
Do you reckon?
Get some quick maths.
Even if you
that.
Do 10,000 steps a day, it's 365,000 steps a year.
Yeah.
So it's a million steps every 3 years.
I think your maths is wrong. 10,000 steps a day is 3 million steps a year.
Oh, is it? My maths
mate,
is
he's
wrong.
Fucking run Africa and he's more switched on than you.
Yeah. God, I went to the party last night. It's his fault as well.
Russ, during this whole mission, mate, might be a bit of a hard question, but
go on.
Did you cry much?
A few times.
Did you?
A lot yesterday. I swore. But I think I left the 4x4 yesterday. It was like the last, you know, we've camped... Me and the boys been camping every day for like a year and just laced up my running trainers and ran off and I was like, last time I'm ever going to do that. And it's a weird one as well because, you know, like these boys are also like, we've spent a whole year together, you know. And, you know, there's ups and downs and all the rest of it. But I was like, fucking hell, I'm going to miss the boys now.
Mm. Do you think that's the most you cried on the mission? Was there any
yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh man, I was went early doors, waterworks. I was like, right, Rusty boy, you've got to keep it together here, lad. but yeah, it was an emotional one. Like, my dad came around with me for like, it lasted about 2K or something.
Oh,
and then,
quality.
You know, I hadn't seen him for a long time. And, you know, then we came over to one of them hills at the end, sort of med. I was like, wow, I've been dreaming that for a year. And then it's finally there. It's,
Fucking hell.
All, like, all the people out to support, man. Like, it's just crazy. And, just, yeah.
Are you still, do you still feel emotional today about it? Or is it
I'm kind of just
more?
Like in like, it's still like buzz mode at the moment, if you know what I mean? Like, there's just, obviously, there's still loads of people here and like, we're doing loads of stuff and it's kind of just like, go, 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 go.
Yeah.
So it hasn't really like properly settled in. I think, you know, like, tonight we're going to Tunis and then have some time with the family and then fly back. And I think then it'll be like,
I'm really
actually,
yeah.
you know.
How emotionally taxing was the whole thing? Because obviously anyone sat at home is thinking, how's he running it? But yeah. they're probably not think they're thinking how bad it is for your joints and stuff. Yeah, but they're probably not thinking how bad it is for your mentality as well.
Yeah, it's difficult, man. Like, you know, there was a lot of mental hurdles to overcome there, I think. You know, it's kind of hard when you're staring at things and you're like, wow, I've still got, you know, I mean, only in Nigeria, I've got like bloody 8,000K left to run and like, I'm feel pretty bad already, but you know, this, it's not over till it's over. So
Were the mornings the hardest bit when you've done
it? Yeah. I did find the mornings quite tough because, like, I'd wake up, everything hurts, and then I'd be like, got to get myself out that door again, you know, like, it's quite tough, but it's over now, isn't it?
Did you have any days when you just didn't get out the door, when you just went, I can't, like, today I'm having a day?
No, there was some days where I didn't run, but it was all logistical, or I had a really bad injury, so, there was no days where I woke up and just shirked it because I couldn't be arsed, if you know what I mean.
Fucking hell.
Can we hear about some of the injuries? What have you dealt with?
I done my back in Nigeria, so that was like day 200. It's never really recovered, so I've just kind of got used to it. It's that it feels a bit different. I need to get it probably checked out. But I've probably injured every single part of my lower body at this point. Like, Achilles is hanging on by a thread at the moment. Like all the muscle fatigue, like my legs have got a lot skinnier. They're like eating themselves. Ankles, feet, everything. Literally everything's been injured at some point.
It's mad because like with the mental aspect to it. Not that I know anyone else that could do it, but that's the kind of bit that maybe people could push through the mental thing. But you can't physically push through a physical injury, can you? Like, if you break your leg, you can't.
It's done, yeah.
Yeah, you can't do it. So how are you getting through the pain barriers of the back and stuff like that?
So I like a lot of it is just trying to kind of manage it. So when I first did my back, like, it was quite bad and like lowered the mileage, lowered the intensity. I did like a 2 or 3 week stint where I just painkill it up and just tried to numb it a bit and did what we could. But yeah, mate, it's just trying to manage it, really.
Right.
It's never going to, like, the injuries I've had, never going to, like, be able to clear them up on the run. It's just trying to, like, take the edge off here and there and then just work for it as best as possible.
Do you think you've done any lifelong damage?
Maybe. It's hard to know until I'm back, really. Like,
right.
I'll have probably a few days of not running. And then
a few days.
What do you mean a few days? Let's rewind that a little bit.
Well, I've got a London Marathon in 2 weeks, so I need to shape up.
You
can't
do for the London Marathon.
Can you just have a day off? What are you? What's the aim for that then? Are you gonna? Have you got a time, or are you just gonna get it?
Nah, I'm doing it with the running charity. So there's a few young people running it. So I'm just gonna pay someone. Someone wants to do like a sub-4, something like this. Then I ain't got a fast one in me, boys. I won't lie.
What are you? Is that the next time you're gonna run, or are you just gonna go out for a jog?
I'll probably do some little bits and pieces in between. You know, just keep ticking over a bit.
Why?
See how we're going.
What is a little bit for you, though? Yeah, like, a little bit for me is 1K. Like, a little bit for you is probably still a 10K, isn't it?
Probably, yeah.
Why? Why are you doing that?
We've got to maintain it, Jackie boy. We'll keep going, eh?
What do you think would happen if you just stopped? Like, what's the longest you couldn't run during the mission because of, like, visa issues or anything?
We had, like, 2 weeks stuck in Angola because our passports got robbed.
Were you still having to run around a bit to keep your legs going?
That would be smart, but I was just like, I'm knackered, so I'm...
Just actually took the break.
Yeah, but it didn't go well for me because I started running again and I was all messed up.
Really,
yeah.
So is it kind of like when you... It's like when a drug addict stops doing drugs. Exactly. You have to, like, exactly wean like off that. It.
Yeah. So, running is your drug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you addicted to running now?
I'd say it's a decent chance. Yeah.
It's not the worst thing to be addicted to. Yeah. Is it?
A month or two into the mission, a doctor told you to stop running.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Nah. you never considered it at
right,
that point.
Right. You know, take it with a pinch of salt.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So what was wrong with you then? Is this the...
Oh, that was when I was pissing blood. Yeah. That was the first time I pissed blood. Yeah.
Why were you pissing blood?
Not sure. We never really found out. probably get that checked out. Yeah.
That'd be ideal.
Yeah. That was a rough gig.
Yeah. How long were you pissing blood for?
About 5 or 6 days the first time. And I think it was another like 3 or 4 days the second time.
Have they got a best guess what they think that was about?
They ran some tests. Couldn't really work it out. Thought, let's carry on then.
Does that feel like anything, or is it just you see it?
The first time I just saw it, and I was like, because you know you go out and about running, you just casually go for a piss anyway.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just look down. Ooh,
that's not right.
I don't know much about things, but I'm pretty sure that's not good.
It's a bright red. You tell
him. Yeah, it's bright red. Yeah.
Fucking hell! And you hadn't been on like the ties or anything.
Nah. Mad.
Talk to us about diarrhea. You ran a lot with diarrhea. Oh.
Yeah, I've had food poisoning a lot, man.
Right.
So have you been eating the local stuff here? Have you been getting on with it?
We've not had much.
We've not
really
been able to eat much. Like, no. Obviously, it's Ramadan at the moment, yeah, isn't it? Yeah. So a lot of places are closed during the day.
Yeah.
So we've not experienced much of it.
Yeah.
So you get diarrhea pretty early on, did you? Are you shitting yourself while you run then?
I have done, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few times.
And you just carry on, or do you take
just carry on. The only trouble is, though, you get like the, I don't know if you've ever done it. Have you ever pooed yourself?
Yeah, once at the darts.
Yeah, yeah. Like
at the darts.
The trouble is if you keep moving, like you end up getting like the arse rash, like the nappy rash.
Right.
So try and like get some baby wipes ASAP. Really, yeah. Is the protocol there.
I'm fascinated.
Are you just going to talk? We've got a man who's just run the whole length of Africa, and all you want to know about is if he shat himself.
I can't believe I just admitted that I shat myself at the dark.
Yeah, you've never told me that.
What happened? Was it a few too many beers or what?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You're never getting invited
back. Did you just go for a fart and you...
Yeah. It was one of them. Yeah, it was one of them.
All been there, mate.
When... Oh, fucking hell. I think we'll probably cut that.
We're keeping that in. That's staying in.
With the food poisoning, I think I've had food poisoning once or twice in my life.
Like, yeah.
You just want to lay in a fucking...
Yeah, it's rough, eh?
Yeah.
It's so rough.
I feel like we're just asking the same question over and over again, but like, how are you getting up in the morning? And because I saw the Ali Law post about it, where he went over.
Sure, that was a day.
Tell us about that.
Ali, what a bloke, man.
Yeah, he's a top guy, isn't he? Top guy.
Yeah. So that was the first time I had food poisoning, which was actually okay because I still had reserve tanks left, you know, like I was still, it's day 24. I was still like, yeah, come on, like, let's, you know,
yeah.
My body can handle this, no problem. Mm-hmm. So. I remember got food poisoning, was chunny in this end, diarrhea the other end. I think I only did a half marathon that day because I was in pure zombie mode.
Only?
Yeah.
Only a half.
But I was gutted about it because I was like, that's just such a weak performance, man. Come on. And then I woke up the next day, food poisoning even more. Ali showed up. I'm like, right, we're no more excuses. And then Ali... Me and Ali were at the start line and I just spewed everywhere and then we just chucked in a marrow.
He said in his post that you could barely talk to him.
Yeah,
you,
yeah.
And then you was like a zombie and then all of a sudden you was like, right, let's go.
Yeah.
Mad.
Get it done.
Mad.
So impressive.
It's insane, isn't it? How are your feet?
Oh, they're probably not as bad. Do you want to have a look?
Yeah, show us your feet.
Not bad. Toenails have grown back a bit recently.
Wow.
Yeah. They're a bit sore, like a bit, but
yeah, I see what you mean though. They're not. They're obviously horrific, but they're not. They're not. They're yeah, not
yeah. Bit of moisturiser.
Yeah.
But they're not as mental as I thought they'd
yeah,
be.
Yeah. No. Like the Hoka sent me some extra wide shoes, and it like just widened them out because otherwise they're pinching a bit, and then they get real. Messed up.
Are they just really calloused now? Are they quite hard?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't really think I've got many nerves left in my feet, so I don't really feel much of it.
Yeah.
Just kind of look at it occasionally and go, ooh.
Fucking hell. What was the injury you had in the Congo rainforest?
Oh, what injury was that?
It was something on the foot. It was like...
Oh, yeah, I had like some mad thing growing outside my foot. Can't remember what that was. I don't think we ever found out what
like
was
a lump.
Wrong with that. Yeah, it was like a big lump on the side of my foot.
Rush, you should probably look into these.
Probably
a bit
should,
more.
Shouldn't
yeah,
I? Yeah,
the piss in the blood.
I was kind of like, just anything that's been, for the whole last year, anything that could be pushed into the future as a future problem,
yeah.
It's kind of the Befford. Is it immediately knocking on my door? No, cool, future problem.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's worked.
Yeah.
Going back to how you're feeling now and stuff, have you you must have heard of the arrival fallacy.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's...
Like the, you get somewhere and then you're like, you've had this big goal for ages and then you get there and you're like, oh, what do I do now?
Yeah, it happens with Olympians a lot when they get a gold medal. Happened to Tyson Fury when he finally became the heavyweight champ of the world.
Yeah.
Is there a worry that you're going to...
I don't think so. Like, I kind of had that before when I did the Asian to London run. So I've kind of feel like I'm kind of half expecting, you know, there's a big buzz now, like finished it, but it's also been so long that I'm actually just really looking forward to living a normal life for a bit.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm actually just buzzing for that.
What do you think a normal life is for you now? Then?
I got curry on Saturday with the boys, and then I got a Sunday league game a couple of weeks after that.
You're playing Sunday league.
Sunday league. Yeah,
box to box, Hillside Rangers. You're gonna put shifting. Last game of the season. I was like, gaff, sorry, bit preoccupied, but. I'll make it for the last game.
Imagine you have a really shit heat map. You just don't move.
But imagine walking onto a pitch. You go into Sunday League and you just look across the other side and you just see Russ there.
Yeah.
You're not getting away.
He's going to be like the white Kante, isn't he? He's
gonna, pounding. He's gonna, ratting you out.
Are you, a good footballer?
I'll back it.
Do you?
What position?
CM. Bit of box to box.
Yeah, perfect runner, yeah. Isn't it?
Who do you play for?
Hillside Rangers.
Shout out Hillside Rangers.
Hillside Rangers, come on.
Wait, are people going to... You know people are probably going to come and watch you now. You're
nah.
Not just... No, but Russ, you're,
this is the flown out to Tunisia.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to go to Hillside Rangers.
We kick ball or something.
100%
yeah,
they do.
You reckon that?
100% they do. The perception of you... When we had you in the studio 2 years ago, I think... When was it? 2021, December 2021. I was looking at you and I was like... Because obviously Zach put us on to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was looking at you and I thought, he's just a fucking nutter from Worthing.
Yeah, yeah.
And you are that.
Yeah, yeah.
Still, but like, I didn't know if... I think I backed you at the time, but I was looking in your eyes when you were saying you were going to run Africa and I didn't know how that was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you have... People know about you now. You won't like this. You will hate me saying this, but you are a celebrity now. Right? You will hate.
Shut up.
No, Rush. But it's true. You'll fucking hate me saying it, but that is true. How are you going to tackle that when you get back home?
I haven't really got a plan.
No.
See how it goes.
It's going to be so different in England as well. Like you're going to be surrounded by people asking for photos and stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Is that something?
Do you boys get that quite a lot now? Like
weirdly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you'll get it worse.
Yeah.
So much worse.
You've been around the scene for ages.
You've run Africa, Ross.
Yeah, but because we've been around, people now don't care anymore. Yeah. You're current. You're irrelevant.
Because you are one of the most humble blokes we've ever met. Like we touched on like you haven't stopping having photos with people in your fucking final hour yesterday and stuff like that. Like, is that something that's gonna weigh you down a bit though? Like, because you are such a free spirit, aren't you? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, not to get wanky, but like, you're not the kind of guy that likes the. You've not done it for the fame. There's not 1% of you that's done it for the fame.
Yeah.
How are you going to deal with people coming up to you and this, that, and?
I take it out of comes. You know, I think you know everyone here's been so nice. You know, as long as people are nice, you know, I'm nice back.
Yeah,
it's pretty straightforward, really.
Yeah.
I can't think of any reason people won't be nice to you.
No. There's a lot of talk at the moment about you potentially... Well, we think that you should get Sports Personality of the Year.
Nah. Nah. It's... Like... It's very nice that people are saying it, but it's that should be reserved for people like competing in an official sport, I think.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you'd love it, wouldn't you?
Mate, look, if they want to give it to me.
The worry is anyone who does now get it, they're just going to be thinking, probably should have been Russ if it's not you.
Nah, like, you know, we've got the Olympics this year, Euros coming up, and we're obviously going to win it. So, like, one of them boys should get it, really, do you know what I mean?
All right, well, if you're too humble for that, how about, you said you're a bit of a baller, what about Soccer Aid? Soccer Aid come knocking.
Oh, I'd love to do a bit of that.
Get on Soccer Aid. Yeah.
That's what we need to see, isn't it? Yeah. We need to see him on Soccer Aid.
And another thing I saw is people calling for a knighthood.
Yeah, come on, bit far.
Sir Hardest Geezer?
Let's relax.
I like it.
Sir Hardest Geezer. You crossed the line in the England trip as well, didn't you? That was a nice touch. That was a nice touch. How has the support back home been?
Mate, honestly, it's crazy, to be honest. Mm. Like, the amount of messages that people have been sending about how they've started getting into running or doing this and that, like... Yeah. It's top stuff, man.
I had a mate text me this morning who's never run before in his life, and he knows I'm out, and he's like, "I've just done 3K."
Unreal.
Yeah.
I went into work at Guild in London, and it was, you were probably about halfway into your run, and someone came over and said, "You've had him on the pod, haven't you?" And I went, "Yeah, a while ago." And they went, "We've got a picture of him up in our office, because then whenever we're having a hard day, we just look at him and think, it's not that hard, is it?"
Really? Yeah.
That's madness. Like, you're inspiring people just to get through a normal work day.
I tell you what though, boys, like, honestly, I don't think you two appreciate how much, like, because when you lot had me on the pod the first time, like, there was nothing really in it for you boys, like, and that really changed what I was able to do in terms of, like, making people believe that I was actually able going to do this Africa thing, and, like, getting the investment. Like, it was so, like, all that stuff at the start was the hardest part. Like I said to you, like,
yeah,
I'm so game to do it. I just can't scramble the money together. But, like, the amount of people that even still come up to go, like, "Oh, I remember, like, I first listened to you on Jack Mate's podcast and all this." Like, you boys played a big part in helping out. Especially, like, Zach as well. Like, you know, that's
Zach, what a legend.
Super
he is.
Grateful for all of you, because wouldn't have happened if these things didn't happen. We wouldn't be here.
But, mate, we've also got to say, like, you've repaid the favour tenfold, because, like, with this whole mission, we was watching it and we was like, "Oh, we'd love to interview Russ at the finish line when it's done." And, like, we were conscious we didn't want to just take up time from your away from your family and that. Yeah. But you've held true to your word and let us be the first to interview you as
100%.
Well. And it's such a privilege. Let's go back to the mission, mate. The countries.
Yeah.
You ran through 16 countries.
Yes, yes.
Which ones stick out to you the most for any reason?
Mate, all of them had such great moments. I think Namibia was really special. We had, like, a bunch of people come out and run in Windhoek, the capital city, and that was early doors, so that was great.
Was that just random they started running with you?
Yeah, so there was a there was a guy, I can't exactly remember how it went down, but I think there was a guy that messaged that saw what I was doing, and he ran a run club, and then lo and behold, like, before you know it, every man and their dog's coming. So that was really wicked.
Yeah.
People in Namibia were so friendly. They, like, and then after that, it was in Namibian news everywhere, and people were just like, "Come and stay at our place, come and stay at this hotel, blah, blah, blah." And we were like, "Oh, unreal."
Wow. Would you stay at locals' houses and stuff?
Yeah, we have done throughout the mission, you know, people. Especially, you know, in the rural places, that was kind of our go-to. You'd have to go and pull up somewhere and ask the chief of the village, you know, "Is it all right if we stay here?" And, you know, they'd always pretty much always be like, "Yeah, no problem."
Fucking
hell. And, like, give you stuff as well. Like, his, you know, I remember in Nigeria, once we stayed in a village, like, rural, and, you know, they're living in huts that are, like, made out of tin and corrugated iron and stuff, and then they bowl over with the beers and they're like,
and they're still giving you stuff when they have nothing. Yeah.
Did that feel safe still for you? I've noticed when we were here, we were struggling to get places and people would just offer us lifts.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, incredible.
Tunisia, like, Algeria, the Mauritania, like, the Arab countries, like, religion's such a massive part of the culture here, especially in Ramadan. It's the holy month. Like, it's super safe. I don't think I've felt safer in any country ever than the last stretch here.
Yeah. Really, yeah.
It's been incredible. And it's funny because everyone was like, "Well, you know, we couldn't get Algeria." People are like, "Oh, Algeria's dangerous, blah, blah, blah." Sweet ass.
I think maybe some of these places might be dangerous, but it's just the fact you look like a fucking nutter.
That's kind of you.
Are you kidnapping him?
No. He looks like he's been kidnapped.
If I see him on the street, I'm just going to be like, "Kidnap me now, then."
Swerve. New target.
You ran through some terrain, mate, like jungles, tarmac, desert. I assume the desert was the hardest.
Sahara desert was just tasty. Good gobble that, jeez.
Yeah.
It was the sandstorms that really done me in there, because the way that I was running as well, I was just constantly getting headwinds. And it was headwind, sandstorm, just getting sand in every orifice possible, chewing it up all day.
It's a sting in your skin and stuff.
Yeah.
How did you not get sunburnt?
Factor 50, boy. Got a lot of it.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've got factor 70, not to one up yet. Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that was a thing.
Did you not?
No.
Yeah, Fee, we've got factor 70, haven't we?
Factor 70. That ginger is special, isn't it?
Yeah. Should have told you that before you ran.
Well, he's managed under 50. Yeah. He's fine.
So I remember there was a time when everyone back, you might not know this, but a lot of people back home thought you were dead.
Oh, really?
When was that? It was when your Strava wouldn't update when you were running through the desert.
Oh, we had no internet for a couple of weeks. Yeah,
and all the comments on your post were just like, he's dead, he's gone. and people were upset. Yeah. You'll be pleased to know. But when you updated, it was
had it coming though, didn't he?
Yeah. I said, this is what I've been saying to people when they ask me, like, do you think Russ will do it? I'm like, the only way he won't do it is if someone else has something to do with it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You were never going to stop.
Run Africa or die trying.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Well, run that line through the desert.
Yeah.
What can you really see nothing when you're running?
Oh, bro, nothing.
How do you know you're going the right way?
Mate, I had a GPS watch, and so it was me and Gus, because the 4x4, the van broke down, so they had to just tow it right through the desert. And then me and Gus would just, you know, we'd get there and we'd go, right, we're going, this is the direction we're heading in. I'd put the point in, and then it would just come up on the watch, and I'd just straight line over everything.
Really?
Yeah, like a geo-wizard special. Just desert.
Was there ever fears of, like, animals, like, attacking you in the desert? Because
there's not much living out there.
No?
I'll tell you, yeah. You get a few, like, occasional bird, maybe.
Oh, really? I picture, like, hyenas and stuff. Just
yeah, there's no water,
about.
Is there?
Vultures.
So they get a bit thirsty. If,
yeah.
I'm so fascinated by this desert, so let's stay on this for a bit. But, like, so is the van driving next to you then the whole way? Or no?
Nah.
It's meeting you at
Gus would normally meet me at, like, 20K stints. So we'd just set 20K, he'd drive off, and then I'd just straight line.
So there was never, ever any worry of running out of water or anything like that?
Probably was at some points, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Mate, honestly, have you met Gus?
Yeah.
He's just like proper operator, mate. So he's got everything locked and loaded, you know, mm-hmm. like ex-para. You know, he's cycled up and down Africa by himself. You know, he's like the most militant guy ever. So he had everything locked in, you know. Like,
yeah.
Second
hardest freezer.
Pretty good, yeah. Maybe the first. Yeah.
Did you see, what's it called in the desert when you see shit?
Oh, hallucinations.
No, there's a word for it in the desert.
Mirage.
Yeah, did you see
it? Oh, yeah.
Did you?
That happens all the time,
What did you see?
Well, because it's the way that the desert is so, when it's so flat and it's hot, you'll see, like, in the distance, you'll just see, like, it looks like a body of water, and you're like, oh, sweet, there's a lake there, unreal. And then it just never comes. Just running, just never ever comes.
And it actually looks like a clear.
Fully looks like a lake. It's the maddest shit. I didn't realise it was actually real, but it fully looks like you can see a lake, and then it's just not there.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Is it always a lake, or do you ever see anything else? Do you ever hallucinate, like, mad shit?
Oh. Hallucinating. Yeah, I mean, I think I've had some rough spells.
Hmm.
But I can't really remember them properly, you know.
Yeah. Just pushing through.
Yeah, I've had times when, like, running food poisoning and stuff where I'm a bit out of it, but I just can't really remember what's happened. It's all on film now.
Yeah, people, go over. If you're not already familiar with the YouTube channel, they need to go and check it out.
Yeah,
don't they?
Yeah.
The team have absolutely smashed it.
Oh, mate, Stan and Jamie have been on the edits, 2 videos a week for, like, the entire mission.
Yeah,
just
it's mad.
On the threes and fours out there, just hitting it hard.
Oh, mate, I was looking on the way over on the plane. I was downloading some Final One to have a little look, and I was looking at how regularly they were going up. I was like, I didn't even fucking realise how regularly.
Yeah, they've pumped them out big time there.
It's mad.
They've smashed it.
What we're going to do, we're going to take a little break there. Join us again in a second and we'll hit you with part 2.
Sweet ass.
Jackmate's Happy Hour. Okay, welcome back to the second part of the Hardest Geezer episode. Russ, we have a Reddit page.
Let's go.
And somebody commented on there this morning this story about you. So we want you to confirm or deny whether this is true.
Okay, I am nervous about this. It's a good one.
I can tell this is already something that you probably did. Hi, chaps. Great to see Worthing's finest is gracing the studio once again. Not quite, we're out in Tunisia. In anticipation of his first ever podcast since becoming a record breaker, can you please ask him to relive this wonderful story I have about Russ and how the mission might have never happened due to a potential arrest? Don't worry. A year and a half to 2 years ago, our friend was getting married, and of course, a stag do was booked in. When planning the stag, we had one slight issue, getting a group of 12 to Gatwick at 4 a.m.
Yes, I do remember this.
A lad in the group knows Russ and knew he had just acquired a minibus for a crazy mission he was planning and thought it would be worth an ask. Of course, being the absolute gent he is, he gladly accepted. The minibus was in no state for Africa, may I add. The lad in the front seat had to hold up a piece of rope to keep the door shut whilst heading up the M23. Anyway, we are cruising 20 minutes out when all of a sudden the bus lights up with blue flashing lights and sirens ringing. Into the lay-by we go. You remember this? Policeman knocks on the window stating the bus is wanted for theft and had been reported stolen. We're very confused. For Russ, however, the penny drops. Do you remember why the penny dropped?
Yeah, I just parked my van somewhere and forgot where I parked it. And then I phoned up the police. I was like, someone's robbed my van, boys.
He reported his own van. Stolen.
I was like, can't believe it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so good. So yeah, he basically explains that. And then he says it was some way to start a great stag. What a man.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the voice. That was a mad one. Pretty sure we was at a petrol station. I think I remember it right. And then I was putting some petrol in the van. Undercover police just bottled up. They're like, wow. And I was like, shit. But yeah, I just being an idiot, forgot where I left my van, didn't I?
Called the bed
on my own van. Then I found my van, forgot to tell them that I found it, and they just started cruising about. And then they obviously, like, the cameras and stuff, they pick it up, the reg.
What did they say to you?
They fully thought I'd robbed it. Yeah, they were like treating me like a armed like robbery. Like, yeah,
you robbed your own van.
Yeah.
Talking of police, mate, out here in Africa,
yes.
You had a police escort. Is that right?
I had a lot of police escorts. Yeah.
Well, how's that work? Is that something you have to pay for? You have to book, or do they?
We never asked for any of them.
Right.
We didn't. Truth be told, we don't really like police escorts. Like we're obviously very grateful that they're trying to protect us. They want to make sure that we're looked after, but. Yeah. It's kind of feel bad because they chuck a load of police on it and they just have to follow me about everywhere I go.
When did that first start? Was this after
Angola,
the gunpoint?
Yeah. So we got robbed at gunpoint in Angola, and then it made like Angola news. And then apparently the president was like, make sure they're sweet. So then from that moment on, everywhere I went was police.
Can you tell us about being robbed?
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah, it was a bit mad. I'd ran 20K, I think. Ran 20K, had my pit stop in the van like normal, just chatting shit with the boys in the van, and then all of a sudden...
Is this nighttime or...?
Nah, middle of the day. It was like 1, 2 p.m., I think. Total daylight.
So you're halfway through your running?
Yeah. Just at my first stop.
Yeah.
And then, three lads pull up on a motorbike, two of them get off. Creep up the side of the door, bang it open, gun there, give us everything you got. And I was like, okay. So we lost our passports, we lost cameras, money, the boys lost their phones. Shocker, really.
Were you worried for your life in that moment, or?
Didn't really think about it like that. Honest answer is I was actually more worried about how much stuff we were going to lose because we didn't have like much money, and losing a lot of the stuff would have been real bad news. So I was just like on damage limitation, like,
right,
don't let him have that. Like, don't let him have that.
And it's just your perfect head.
Yeah. Like, don't take my apple and raspberry, mate. Like, come on now. But yeah.
You said you're more worried about losing the stuff than losing your life.
Yeah.
If you die, by default, you kind of lose your stuff.
That's true. That is true. I wasn't really in that mode. I was just like,
yeah,
hide the stuff.
So the guns come through the window. They've got in the van.
No, he's opened the door and then bowled up. I was sat there and the boys are sat there and they've just, you know, they're speaking Portuguese.
Yeah, I guess you didn't have anyone.
Nah. Harry speaks a bit of Spanish, so he kind of got it a bit.
How did you recover from that? Like, obviously, did you have to replace stuff or did you manage to keep everything you
needed? Yeah, I mean, the Angolans were actually top stuff because a few of the locals heard about what happened and then they were like, they kept trying to sort us out, like replace some of our stuff and things. So it was, you know, we got through it in the end, but it was a bit of a moment for the team. I think everyone was a bit rattled by that.
Is that the toughest moment of the whole thing? Not the toughest, is that the scariest moment?
I think as a team, it was probably one of the, you know, scariest things, getting a gun pointed in your head.
What was it like losing the passport then? Because that's obviously a big part of your mission.
Nightmare, man. That incident kind of set us back a couple of weeks. We had to really go and get a load of visas. Very long, basically.
Did you ever get in trouble with the police? Did they ever think you were doing something wrong?
Yeah, a few times. Quite a lot of times. We've all been in a bit of trouble. To be fair,
are you looking at your team to see? Yeah, I'm like,
how much
good
what should I say?
Stan shitting himself.
You didn't call him on yourself this time.
Honestly, most of the police we dealt with have been totally unreal. Most of it's just misunderstandings. Like, I remember in Ivory Coast, they pulled me off the road. Like, when I was running once, like, they were like, who is this guy? Like, thinking I'm up to no good, like running about at night and stuff. They're like, what are you doing? They're like quite hostile, but it all got sorted in the end.
Do they ever take you to a station?
Take you to a police station and they normally bell up a few people, go like, we've got this guy, you know, and then they check it all out and it normally goes fine.
Yeah. When you're getting taken from a specific part of your run,
yeah,
are you then just having to get back to that exact point to carry
so
on
it's
the
quite
run?
Jarring, especially if it's like late at night and I'm like 60-70k deep and then someone goes, just, I know you want to go to bed, mate, but hold on an hour. We need to take you to the police station or whatever. I'm like,
What do you do? Do you just get the YouTube channel up or anything? Or like news
articles? I have flexed a BBC article one time in Nigeria. It worked actually.
That's not flexing it,
though. Did it work well as well?
They were like giving us a bit of like, they've just been long with us at the border and I got the BBC article, mate. And they were like, oh, wow. And then they were all getting photos.
And weren't you mistaken as a spy?
Ivory Coast, Yeah, that was...
Sorry, but you would be a mad... If the government were picking spies...
I'm game. You. If the UK government wants to get in touch, I'm keen.
But not to be too judgmental, but the way you look...
You do stand out.
Yeah, you stand out.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Give myself away, don't I?
Tell us about that then. So why did they think you were a spy?
They were just very confused about who I was because I was at night running.
Yeah.
And tried to kind of explain to them. They weren't buying it. Thought it was like some kind of cover story, I think. And they chucked me into the police station.
The maddest cover story.
Yeah.
I'm not a spy, I'm running Africa.
Yeah. It's all these conversations, though. They're speaking French, I'm speaking English. You know, I ain't got much French in the locker. You know, bonjour, monsieur.
That's gorgeous.
Come see, come see.
Yeah, Spanish, I think. Is that Spanish? I think it's Spanish.
Lizzie,
is that Spanish? Come see, come sir. French. Oh, okay, it's French. It's French.
I don't even know.
He doesn't know French.
Yeah.
Did you ever spend the night in a cell then, or?
Nah. Did we spend a night in a cell?
No, we didn't spend a night in a cell. We spent a night at the forensic place.
We've done a few like long, drawn out stints in police stations and things. Like Algeria, we just had one a couple of weeks back. I think they thought our passports were. I don't know what was going on there.
What are they doing forensic?
They literally, mate, it was the maddest thing I've ever seen. We've sat there like midnight in an Algerian police station. There's about 30 cops there, and they've got a guy in like proper, like full on white jackets going through our passports. I'm like,
what's he trying to find? What's he trying to find?
I don't know. I was like, I'm trying to run here, boys. And it was annoying because.
I'm trying to run here, boys. What an understatement.
It was annoying because they pulled me off the road at 35k, which meant for the last 4 days of the mission, I had to do on average 84k a day.
How many setbacks did you have in terms of like when were you planning to finish and when you actually finished?
So he was planning to finish by Christmas. It's not Christmas, is it?
No, nah, it's not Christmas.
It's summer now, isn't it? Originally I was going to try and do 360 marathons in 240 days, but you know, didn't quite work out that way, unfortunately. Yeah.
bottled it, didn't you?
Yeah, bottled it hard. Not good enough.
I think it still counts.
Stevie stayed at the party a lot later than me last night, and he texted me at 2 a.m. saying,
yeah, unreal.
Ask Russ about, and I don't know what this is, but he said, ask Russ about his Christmas dinner.
So Zach came up to me and said...
Oh, is this the work of Zach Allsop, is it?
Yeah, Zach Allsop came up to me and said, ask Russ about Christmas dinner, but I don't know if you'll be able to put it in the pot.
I don't know if that story is going to make it
out. I said, no.
this is not a PG show. Why is a Christmas dinner not PG, anyway?
Christmas was a time. Guinea and jungle. I can tell you the story about the chicken. I can tell this chicken story, can't I? It's all right. Basically,
if you tell it, we can always cut it out.
Yeah. So basically, it's Christmas Day.
Right.
And
I'm nervous.
Yeah, I'm nervous too. It's Christmas Day. We got no signal. I run my marathon. Gus has sourced some chickens for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And then we've set up a camp, made a nice campfire. We thought, right, let's get these chickens on the go. We bring them and then... We kind of, we caught them. We was like, right, let's kill the chickens, And...
What's happening here?
There was a few different weapons. Yeah, so they've got really... Turns out they've got the toughest necks you've ever seen.
So you'd accidentally got roosters?
Yeah, and basically, we've had a few goes at trying to,
get slice
the neck.
Yeah.
None of the tools we've got are sharp enough, and me, the caring, sympathetic man that I am, I thought I'm going to put the chicken out of its misery. So I went into the van.
Oh, can I tell this story?
Probably not. It was good intentions. Execution was a bit bad, but I got the hammer out because I thought, let's just get it gone. Right, it's clearly suffering a bit, so I dinged him on the head.
I think you've done the right thing.
Yeah, I've tried. Right, I've dinged him on the head, but yeah. I didn't. Follow through as well as I wanted to, and then we got the job done eventually, right?
It tastes good.
Yeah, it tastes decent.
What was the state of the van like after you've just been blood drawing a rooster?
There's a lot of blood.
Yeah,
that's bad, isn't it? Oh yeah.
Like a pinata.
Yeah. So Stannis, I don't know if the mics have picked that
it's
up.
Kind of
Stannis just said it was hanging from a tree and you pinata'd it.
I know it sounds bad, but you've got to imagine, how many days in are we? Like 250 days in.
Yeah.
We've been in the jungle for a while. It's all a bit loose.
Yeah.
When
in Rome?
Yeah. Like.
Smash chickens with.
Yeah, hammers.
Fucking hell.
And then we cut a couple trees down, had a good fire. It was good.
Did you?
Yeah.
So what else are you having? I want to picture it. Christmas dinner is a rooster.
Lots of chicken, and we had what was that booze we had? Pastiche.
Pastiche.
Rotten, mate. Bad.
What is it? Is it?
It was just like, it's hand sanitizer basically.
Did you get pissed?
Yeah. Yeah. We were all a bit. Christmas
did,
Day.
Did
yeah.
you have any experience of? Like skinning animals and like cooking for
yourself. No, Gus YouTubed it though.
No, I'm not just YouTube. Talking about the chicken. I'm just talking about because throughout the journey you would have had to do this.
Yeah.
So like how?
Gus loves all that stuff.
Really?
He was on YouTube. He had it. He did do it properly. He did a really good job actually.
Good old Gus.
Yeah.
Did you have a little Christmas tree? Your
kind of.
Issues,
we had loads of trees. They were all around us. Yeah.
No tinsel.
Yeah.
No tinsel.
It was a back to basics kind of Christmas.
Oh. Any snow? Probably not.
No, I've boiled it up, mate.
Yeah, fair enough. The Guinean army.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to me about this, Russ. What they...
So that one, I just finished my day's running. It was pitch black. I was knackered. Got myself into bed and then the Guinean army just rolled up and was like, guns locked, loaded, bowled into camp.
How many people are we talking?
How many people do you reckon? 10, 12, 15, something like that.
10.
Big truck with a load of guns and they were like, not very happy with us, but all got sorted in the end.
What were they annoyed by?
I think they were just confused that we were camping there and they're like, what are these guys doing? It's mostly, I think, from a place of just like, they're a bit scared about what you're going to do. So they come in heavy handed just to like, they're just flexing. Like if you fucking around. We've got guns.
Do they grab hold of you or anything, or do they just from a, well, they've got guns, they don't need to, do they? Yeah. They're not bothered about fisticuffs, are they?
Fisticuffs.
Cat and bang.
What's the voodoo magic?
Voodoo magic. Yeah,
I can tell you've forgotten most of this.
Yeah, literally, I'm like, wow, it's like a fever dream. So that's like Benin Togo. It's quite, it's like traditional kind of voodoo stuff. We went to a, like a snake temple and things.
A snake temple?
Yeah, it was all, it was a little, seemed a bit odd to me at the time, but you know, it's their thing. I just wanted to kind of, it's part of the culture. Just come and have a look, see what's going on.
What is a snake temple then? A temple with snakes in?
It's got bare snakes that they're like worshipping stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of...
What, just all crazy. Over the place? Or are they in a...
Yeah,
in a...
they've got them in, like, this big hut. There's just a ton of snakes in there. And they're, like, they all... Have you seen, like, the some of the locals, they, like, cut slits into their face because it's, like, resembling the snake and stuff? It's all... Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty loose. Yeah, it's pretty... Seems pretty gnarly, man.
And the magic element of that is?
Your guess is as good as mine, brother.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Not really sure, to be honest with you.
You really got ingrained in all the different cultures and stuff, didn't you? I love that, though. Yeah. I love that. You didn't just jog past. You stopped and had a...
Well, we tried to, man. Like, it would have been nice. It would actually been really nice to... You know, it's one of the things we always said we spoke about, me and the boys. It would have been nice to have more time to actually do it, but I was so focused on trying to run every day.
Yeah.
We didn't do it as much as we want, but, you know, we tried to where we could, yeah.
Do you reckon you'll ever come back?
What, to... I'll definitely come back, you know, probably not to all the countries. There's quite a few, but I'm coming back to run the Sahara Marathon next year. And then like so many countries I'll come back to. Ghana was unreal.
You're Namibia, doing the Sahara Marathon next year.
Come and get involved if you want, girls and boys. It's going to be
no.
Unreal. Yeah.
Just don't.
No, that was a thing. Thank you, Jack. Get this factor 70 out. You'll be all right.
Just don't do it, Russ. Go swimming or take Emily out for a meal. Fucking hell. It wasn't just the man on the street with the guns that were trying to stop this mission, though, was it? It was the guys in the offices as well. You put the stamps on the visas,
yeah,
Russ.
That was long.
You had a couple of these issues, didn't you?
Yeah. The biggest one was the Algerian one.
Yeah.
That was everywhere on the internet.
Yeah, that was fairly recent, wasn't it?
Three months ago, maybe. But yeah, like getting the Algeria visa was something we've been trying to do for a long time, and then it kind of got to the point where it was, you know, we were like trying to think of a strategy to get it, and I was like, let's just put it on socials and see if we can, you know, force the issue a bit, and came through.
How come you didn't get one originally? What's their reason for not?
Because we wanted to go through the Sahara region that is a bit more isolated, dangerous, some might say. So and Algeria's got like traditionally quite like a closed country, like they don't have many tourists and things. It's quite hard to get a visa.
Yeah.
So I think they were just a bit like, nah. But then we put the message out on socials, and
it's like the embassy and everything got involved, didn't they?
Yeah. But it goes to show like the power of social media, because we, you know, we wouldn't have been able to get that if it wasn't for that. It wasn't for everyone that like shared that and sent it around to people and got.
Was there a real fear for you that you just wouldn't finish the mission?
Yeah, there was definitely at one point. It was, you know, the closer we were getting to Algeria, the more I was like, oh, we like might have just ran like 14,000 k and then not get in at the last minute. Yeah.
What would you have done if they just say you can't come in? What are you
was
doing?
There another route you could have run?
There
around
was another
Algeria?
Plan, but I don't know if I can really share that on the internet. Maybe.
Is it a Zach Allsop special? Is it sneaking in?
the alternative idea was to buy a camel and just go straight through the desert, just me and the camel.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was the plan. Yeah. Luckily, we didn't have to do it, though.
Have you ridden a camel?
No. Not ride a camel, just have a camel to carry all my things.
Yeah, don't be a fucking idiot,
I'm
mate.
Not cheating, bro. Come on.
I was just like, we rode camels yesterday, and they're quite difficult. Jack got injured by it.
Impressive creatures, isn't they?
Yeah, one of them scratched me up.
Did it, yeah?
Yeah, just a little bit. And I was complaining about it a lot. See you cross the finish line. I thought, I can't really moan about a little scratch on my arm. It put a lot into perspective, didn't it? It really did.
When you first mentioned about going to Africa, you also said that you think you might have to spark out a lion. Did you encounter any?
We only actually ever saw one lion. Ran away, didn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't want it, didn't fancy it.
So where did you see it?
It was in a national park that they invited us to in Namibia.
Oh, you weren't just running, you saw one?
Nah. Because I think it's one of them things where you say Africa, and we've all got this stereotype of like, oh, I'm going to be fighting lions and all the rest of it. But a lot of the lions, there's not actually a ton of them left, and they're all kind of kept in national parks and stuff.
Yeah,
bit of a shame, really.
What, you, because you wanted to spark one out?
We did want to, you know, I wouldn't have minded a little town jack.
What wildlife did you encounter?
The most dangerous ones for me were the snakes. There's a ton of snakes, and they always came out at night when I was running, and they'd come out onto the tarmac. And
would you hear them before you saw them? Or?
Nah, like a lot of times I'd have earphones in, and then I'd just be running, and then there'd be like a fat like anaconda or something just there. Like,
fuck.
Swerve.
Yeah. Are they coming for you, or are they just doing their own thing?
Nah, but I'm not really trying to stick around to find out. Like snake bites are like one of the, you know, the biggest things. Because even if you like, you know, camping, you go for a little nature poo in the morning, you're in the grass and it's thick, like you get a little bite on the ankle, and then actually, you know, give it half an hour, you're done. Yeah, they're the big ones. But, you know, we saw loads of monkeys in the Congo.
That must be quite amazing, though, just seeing it.
Yeah. Oh, mate, the monkeys are mad. They're just flinging about all the trees. Crazy. They eat them as well in the Congo.
Do they?
Monkeys?
Yeah.
You didn't get that again? Did you? Yeah.
What's it like?
Tastes like chicken.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? Because whenever you ask somebody who's eaten, like, an unusual animal, what it tastes like, they all say chicken, don't they?
Yeah.
Everything tastes like chicken.
Yeah.
Even rooster.
can you tell us about your pet crocodile?
Oh yeah, Big Nige. Yeah, so we saw this
Big
lad
Nige.
ran through this village, and this guy had a crocodile on a piece of string on a lead, and I said to him, "How much? Like, I'll buy off you, because this croc's obviously, you know, he's just a pet. He's probably getting dished about a bit."
Yeah.
So we bought the crocodile off him for like £3. And then we just kept him for a couple of days, treated him good, and then we let him free into the river. Yeah.
Where's it sleeping? Where's the crocodile?
We put him in the washing up tub. And then...
Right.
And then we got a hotel, we put him in the bathtub.
They let you take him into the hotel?
Yeah.
He's not worried he's going to have a little nibble at your fingers?
Nah, he was calm. He was ferocious. He looked you in the eye, and you knew he was about it, but he was calm.
What do you mean when you say you knew he was about it?
Like, you know, you can see, sometimes you look into a creature's eyes and you know what they're about. You know, he's here to kill and procreate. You know what I mean? He's two things.
Right.
That's game.
What two things are you here for, Russ?
Running. That's it.
One to two.
I like it. And you ate one of Africa's deadliest snakes?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, no, we did. Yeah, that was a mad one. We there were some local boys in Guinea, I think this was, that hunted a snake, and they came around trying to sell it to us, and we thought,
with Nigel in the bathtub.
Yeah, we'll have that snake for £1. We ate the snake.
What'd that taste
Gus,
like?
Chicken? Gus battered it, actually. He put a nice little flour batter and marinated with some chicken seasoning.
Sounds really nice.
Yeah, it was not bad. It was a bit rotten. The flesh was a bit rotten. So it wasn't the most amazing taste.
The flesh from Africa's deadliest snake was a bit rotten.
Yeah. It smelt quite bad.
Why'd
you
eat it?
If you didn't smell it, it was less worse.
I think it was less worse if you didn't eat it.
Yeah, that's true. But like, how many times are you going to eat a snake in your life? You know what I mean? Just give it a go.
And that was in your video, I think it was said the kid who killed it was like 8 years old.
Yeah, young boys. About it.
Again, they're about it.
Hunting snakes.
It's nuts,
snakes,
isn't
out
it,
here.
That they're just killing, they're out here like hunting the world's deadliest snakes.
Mad, actually mad.
I think at 8 I was doing Kirby. Do you ever play Kirby?
Yeah, bit of Kirby, bit of FIFA.
No, but let's move on to the public support, mate. I know we spoke about it a little bit in the start of the show, but it's been mad watching your socials grow.
Yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
What are you on now? How many Instagram followers are you on now?
We hit a million last night.
You hit a million?
Yeah.
Fucking congratulations.
Cheers, bro.
Quality.
Yeah,
although I say congratulations, I've got the feeling you're not... obviously, you appreciate the support, but you're not a guy that's about... You don't care about the numbers, do you?
I mean, it's cool to have... It's you know, it's awesome that so many people have wanted to support. I guess it is what it is.
Have you got any plans to utilise the socials for future missions? Because I remember I think shortly after you came on the pod the first time, you did, and we spoke to a couple of lads who are knocking about here. You did the Three Peaks Challenge.
And
you posted saying people can come and join. And they did. And I think, what did you have, like 30 people or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. I've done a few with lads coming down the Three Peaks. Yeah.
Well, if you post that on your socials now, you're going to have 300,000. So what's the plans?
Yeah, mate. I haven't... Probably need to think about this more. Need to sit down and come up with a bit of a game plan, really. But first job is just to get back home.
Yeah.
And let everything settle down. And then
Did the online support from back home and, well, from all over the world, did that spur you on? Did that 100%. Keep you going?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, especially like the messages from people saying like they're going out for their first run, or their first marathon, or they've booked their first this or whatever. I was like, that seems, you know, because that's like big things for people to do. So you know.
I reckon the numbers of people that you've inspired from doing this are just like, I couldn't even pick a number. Like I told you, my mate today, like, he's the last person you would ever imagine running. He's texted me this morning and was like, I've just done 3k.
3k, so just straight off the back.
Yeah, he's like, I've stopped a lot to walk, but it still counts.
Nah, 100%, you know, he's getting your head out of the door is the first one's the most important.
Yeah. You're like a genuine influencer now. You're actually influencing me.
You fucking hate
things.
That, don't you?
I'm so sorry. You are.
Hashtag influencing.
I'm posting my 5k runs now, actually. Yeah. Seeing your Strava. There's a big question you can help us with, Russ.
Go on.
We've debated this for a long time, me and Stevie. Stevie's ran one marathon in his life, or has he, because it was on a treadmill? Does it count?
Look, basically, we had a bet that I was going to run one before the end of the year, and it got to December 28th and I'd not done it. So I said to Jack, will you count it if I do it on a treadmill? So I just went to the gym and ran for 5 hours, 10 minutes.
I'd say it still counts.
That means you owe me £300,
but to charity. But
I say it still counts.
Put it on his charity.
But like, got, but like, there's a but like here.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You know, it counts. Asterisks.
Yeah. I'll take it.
If you want, it's up to you. If you want the asterisks, then you can count it.
You're making me not want it.
Well, that's it's on you, right? You know, like,
I'll have the asterisks. I don't care.
It's like when Liverpool won the league in lockdown.
You ran a half marathon the other day, and you were posting it, and that was on a treadmill.
Yeah, but I've also done them outside. We're not flexing our runs in front of this guy, all right? It doesn't.
What I want to see is you two do a marathon together and see who wins.
Oh, he would.
Oh, really? Yeah. You could dust him up.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a shame.
I'm not cardio fit.
Nah, okay.
You're not fit.
I could lift heavier weights than you.
I want to see it.
Yeah, we'll do that. Well, was there a time that you, I swear at one point when you were talking to Russ during the mission, Jack messaged me and was like, do we go and run one in Congo?
Yeah,
what is that all about?
That's my suggestion.
I said, come out, boys. We're having a great time.
Well, what's Congo? Like, isn't it dangerous? Not for you.
It's not dangerous if you're with the hardest geezer.
We should have done it.
This online support, Russ, did you have any celebrities in the DMs?
Yeah, mate. Spoke to Bear Grylls the other day. That was pretty sick.
Did you?
Yeah.
What's Bear got to say?
He's just like, just congratulating me on the mission and stuff. And yeah, that was pretty cool. Watched Bear Grylls since I was a kid, you know.
Yeah.
He's done all the mad stuff, you know. So that was pretty cool. Like Mo Farah.
Oh, that's...
Got a message from Mo Farah earlier on in the mission. Yeah, mate.
You know when you get back, like you're in the same category as all those people.
Nah, you behave are, yourself, lad. Nah,
you are, mate. Nah. You are. I know you don't want to say it, but you are. Like, you're going to be on the Mount Rushmore of runners.
Nah,
like,
mate. Mo Farah, 2012. Do you remember that? That what is it, like Super Saturday or something? And you had Jess Ennis, Mo Farah, Greg Rutherford. Like, that's heroic, man. That was unreal.
Yeah, but you're up
you're
there,
in
mate.
There
nah, bro, come on.
You're up there during the mission. This lady behind the camera came out to join you.
Oh, bamboozled Becky.
she brought you a pint. How rank was that?
Oh, it's piss water, man. It was
I'm not talking about the pint. I'm talking about her in general. Like, oh, rank was
fantastic. 3k stint from Bambino Becky there.
Did you do a 3k?
Yeah, but you did three beers in between.
Well, so this beer that she brought you,
yeah,
it's a hardest geezer pint.
Yeah.
So in Worthing, there's a pub that's made a pint after you.
Yeah,
and she brought you one over.
Yeah,
was it ranked?
I'm sure it's lovely when it's poured fresh out of the tap, but I think that one had a bit too much mileage clocked on it, you know.
Is it not like a Guinness, like it, when it travels?
Mate,
like...
it was so bad. I swigged it, and then halfway through, like, I'm down it, because, you know, like, cameras are out, want to look like a big dog, so I thought, I'd neck the pint. Halfway through necking it, I'm like, whoa. And then...
Let me just interrupt you. Right, yeah. You said you want to look like a big dog in front of the camera. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know that you're running? You don't have to down
well,
pints.
I can't get a pint and start sipping it. You're going to give me the pint I've got next.
I guess not. Our mate Robbie Knox wants to know, did you have any nights out when you were running?
West Ham. Did we have any nights out? We had one in Ghana. You were on holiday then.
Oh, you actually did? Stan, do you want to come in here?
We had Christmas Day was a big, big night. But I don't think we got on it too much, did we? It was pretty business mode for the whole time.
We had the sachets on Christmas Day, the cream liqueur sachets.
Oof.
That was a rough one. Me and Gus had a night in Benin.
Oh yeah, I can't remember that because I remember waking up at like 2 a.m. to hear Stan throwing his guts up in the.
I fell asleep on the floor outside the hotel room.
Sorry, did you say what on Christmas night?
Nah, this is just in Benin, right. Mate. Just a loose one in Benin.
Why didn't you get in the room?
I just didn't make it that far. Yeah.
What are you crawling?
No, so the main like alcohol you can buy in Benin, it's what all the locals drink. They just have these sachets of like generic booze.
Sachets?
Yeah, sachets.
What, just this, sachets. Like little KFC ham, right?
Yeah. That's the vibe.
Like 50ml sachets, and you read the ingredient, it's like flavouring ethanol.
Yeah.
So we went, we did a little tour, like a tasting tour of the sachets.
Are they nice?
I hadn't drank anything in 4 months or whatever, so...
Right. I'm expecting quite a luxurious sort of like vineyard tour in the south of France.
It was exactly like that.
Slightly different vibe.
So you actually did have a little party here and there then when you could.
I kind of couldn't. I occasionally did.
No, in Angola though, you did. Oh, yeah, you had a 250ml beer.
Two stubbies, and I was off.
Yeah.
Off away with the fairies, mate.
Fucking hell. Yeah. How's this been for you, Stan? So, Stan, I'm sure all the people out there will know you from the videos and whatnot, but just introduce yourself to our audience if they don't know.
So I'm Stan, and I'm Russ's PA. No, I'm the project manager and like kind of I head up the content. So all of the YouTube stuff, myself and Jamie edit that. Basically,
there's only four of us, so everyone's got at least six job roles. Yeah.
Right.
True. Yeah.
Right.
So it's like editing, but also... booking my interviews and telling me to
just,
wake
just
up.
Irritating everybody. Yeah. Have to do.
How are you feeling now, Stan? Now it's all done.
Mate, it's such a mix. Like, I'm obviously glad the workload is over because that's been
intense.
Hell.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a broken man.
Have you still got a final edit to do?
Don't talk about it. Yeah. That's what I'll do it after this. But so once that's done, I'll probably have the relief. But also, I don't know, I just know that I'm going to be gutted when I get home.
It was quite an emotional one yesterday, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. Yeah. I had a little cry as well, did I tell you?
Yeah.
Nah,
I was getting out the 4:04 in the morning, just blubbering away. I was like, is that what?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Before, did you have tears? I couldn't quite see you when you was up on the plinth at the finish line. Did you have tears? I imagine that was quite emotional as well.
It was on and off all day, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Tears while you're running?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
What a day it was. I felt so lucky to just be there and see it. I'm not no part of anything you boys have been doing, but we were saying, weren't we, just to witness it. It did feel like you was watching man take his first step on the moon. Yeah. Or something like that.
It was weirdly emotional, like just being there.
Yeah, you cried your eyes out, didn't you, Fee?
I did.
Love it.
I think most people did, to be honest.
Yeah.
Waterworks all around.
Stan, what do you think's next for Mr. Geezer here?
I don't know. I mean, like, you were talking about running the entire world before the mission started. I don't know. That's dropped off that chat a little bit.
Pole to pole, I talked about.
Can you skip Africa now? So,
Emily screwed her face up off camera there. Are there plans to run the whole world?
Nah. Maybe one day, but not anytime soon.
Well,
we won't say never, but
it's mostly like charity stuff for you now.
I've got going back to the running charity and then got the Sahara Marathon stuff next year. So, you know.
Yeah, tell us a bit about the charities then, mate, because it was for two charities, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we raised money for the running charity, which is a charity I've worked for quite a few years. And the whole mission there is really to try and engage young people going through hard times in sport, trying to get them running, trying to get them moving, and like empower their lives through that mm-hmm. process of, you know, it's the process I went on of, you know, you start off with, you're getting your head out the door and doing a 1K, then it's a 5K and it's a 10K, but it's that motivation and discipline and kind of self-belief and confidence that it bleeds into the rest of your life. So that's kind of the mission there. And then the other one is Sandblast, which obviously they do a lot of work in the refugee camp in the Sahari group, just delivering educational programs and cultural programs to those guys. And there's over 100,000 people in that refugee camp for 47 years. So, yeah.
Wow.
One of the most least known things, you know, like, yeah. It's crazy.
Fucking hell. And then it's raised quite a lot now. What is that, on 780 at the time of recording?
Is it? Yeah, wow. Yeah.
When you first went out, I think I remember you posting saying you were aiming for 100K,
yeah.
weren't you?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
You've gone from 100K, you've done that almost tenfold is what you're yeah. now going for, isn't it?
Yeah, it's incredible, man. And the donations as well in the last like 2 weeks have tripled.
It's, I think yesterday I looked as you were finishing and it was on about 610.
Yeah.
And then today it's on 780. So it's gone up massively
nuts,
in one
man.
Day as
yeah,
well.
It's nuts.
I wonder if there's people sitting there going, I will donate, but I just want to make sure he
I
does
think
complete that,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think that's fair cop though. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if it is though.
Give it all the chat. Yeah, let's see him though. Like, let's see him actually do
yeah,
it.
But I mean, genuinely, like that's been a problem from the start, right? Because we started the mission with no funding
yeah.
at all because basically no one believed that it was possible.
Right.
You know, you go up to a big company and that you're like, can we have $100,000 to run across Africa?
Yeah,
who's
like,
doing it? Oh, it's some ginger
yeah.
from Worth.
Yeah.
Has he done anything before? Sort
yeah,
of.
A few bits and pieces.
Who did back you at the start? What?
How we actually got the mission off the ground was I got a funding from an investor who's actually a mate of mine, a mate of a mate from Worthing. He's literally made some decent money like investing in crypto and stuff.
Yeah.
And I told him about the story and he was like, you know, just let go and do it. It made no real business sense, but he was like, sounds cool. Like, here you go. So that was like the initial funding just to get the project started. And then about two weeks or so into the mission, I got a message off Stephen Bartlett.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, you know, let me know what I can do to help. And then he's an investor in Huron and Perfect Head.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, we're looking for sponsors and stuff. And he was like, you know, this company, and you know, they've all been great sponsors. Perfect Head, Huel, Hoka, like it's been unreal. Yeah,
superb, love it. We're gonna obviously put all the links to the charities down in the descriptions as well. So happy hour listeners, please do your bit as well and support the boy Russ with the two great charities. Stan, just before we let you go, mate, I've got two questions for you.
Hit me.
What was your best moment? Ooh. That's the first one.
Best moment. Well, what do you want from that? Do you want like
we're gonna
best story or best?
What's? I'll tell you what. Time. I don't know if this is a shitter question. But what is just a random moment that stands out for you? Because I think best moment, it's easy to say at the start or the finish. But what's one moment that really's imprinted on your brain for whatever reason?
I'm looking at Jamie over there because he knows exactly what I'm going to say. This was probably one of the worst moments, but it's like the best story we've got out of it was when we had this border that we had to cross between Cameroon and Nigeria. I've told this story so many times, but it is good. Our van couldn't make the border basically because the normal road border is now a war zone. So you have to go round through like a mountain pass, maddest roads. They almost didn't make it in the 4x4. Mm-hmm. So Nelly wouldn't have had a shot. So myself and Jamie, who's our second editor, he'd just been on the job 2 weeks. And we were like, oh, we're going to go and take a boat with the van on the boat across pirate infested waters.
Right.
And he was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Some of the most pirated waters in the world now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm a fucking idiot. I didn't even know pirates were a real thing.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I thought they were like ghosts.
Do you not remember the smiley?
Like scary ghosts of the sea.
Yeah.
Is that.
They've modernified a bit. They don't like say ahoy
anymore.
They've
got AK-47s.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
They're like pirates on steroids.
Yeah.
Fucking.
But to be fair, like if they'd have nicked Nelly, then that's probably more of a problem for them than it is ours.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, I mean, the short version is it was a nightmare. We were waiting at the port for about a week. I got malaria in that time, and then we rocked up.
This is Russian laugh.
We were chatting to this guy who was sorting the logistics for the boat, and he showed us the crane that was meant to lift our 4.5-ton van. Mm. It was like one of those ones that's on the back of a truck used for lifting bricks and shit.
Oh, fuck.
So we were like, that's not going to happen. Eventually we settled on two cranes, and then the two crane drivers didn't rock up. So they're like, oh, it's all right. We'll just buy 18 planks of wood. You're paying for those, by the way. And we'll build a deck on top of the boat. Then they showed us the boat. It's like this wooden thing falling apart. Like, it's water coming in all the time. They've got like a water pump pumping water out just nonstop.
Fucking hell.
It's leaning to one side like this, almost not big enough for the van. Built a deck on top, and then we had to try and drive it up two planks. Took us 4 hours to drive up the planks because nobody knew what they were doing. Van nearly fell in the sea. Then we get out to sea eventually. And there's a huge thunderstorm, and the van almost falls in again.
Jamie so, like, texts his mum saying, "I love you."
Fucking hell! No,
but genuinely, we had this conversation when we were sat in the van at first, and then some like panic crew members were like, "It's not safe in there. You need to go sit in the holds." So we're sat on a load of cargo, like biscuits and stuff. Yeah. I don't know what. We just had this really frank conversation where we're just like, oh, "We might die. Yeah, possibly." Wow. Not really anything we can do about it though. Yeah, I'm off to sleep. See you in a bit.
Fucking hell.
It's crazy. I can't
imagine that feeling of like, yeah, we could actually. I was once, when I was a kid, right? Someone put me in a suitcase, put and threw me down the stairs.
Mm. And cool, what did you do to that?
It was my cousin. Yeah, and it was only a three steps. I remember, yeah, it's funny.
Standard chart.
Yeah. And I thought I was going to die. But that. Yeah. I think tops it, boys.
I don't know. I feel like that you were more likely to die doing that.
I don't know about that. And Stan, I've asked this the wrong way around, haven't I? Because I've done best moment. Now I've got to go, what was the worst moment? See you later, Stan. What was the worst moment?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's been... I don't know if it's a moment, really. We've spoken about this before, but like the hardest thing about this was the longevity.
Yeah.
And like, you know...
It's like compound interest, mate. It's just... day after day after day after day.
And you know there's going to be at least 4 or 5 like major problems every day. And there pretty much always has been. Like, we very rarely had a smooth stretch. And I think the real clincher is like, you might get held up at gunpoint, or you might, you know, get harassed or robbed or put on a boat across the pirate infested waters. And then you know that after that 10 p.m. you set up camp, you got to edit for 6 hours. So that was the hard bit.
Yeah.
It's like combining the job with everything we were going through, and that adding up over time for a year.
Mm-hmm. Fair play. And Stan, have you got a message for Russ?
Yeah, well done. Good job.
Nice work.
Nice work, yeah. Could have been a bit faster though.
Could have. Sorry, Dad.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dad.
You did promise me a Christmas at home, so...
Some things don't always get what we want.
That said, though, I got extra 4 months of pay. So
exactly. There you go.
Cheers, Dan. Nice
pleasure
one. To meet you. Cheers, mate. Thank you. So, Russ, you finished the mission yesterday. That final run, was that easier or harder than the
Definitely
other?
Definitely easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, there's so many people there. The amount of energy like you get from just running that massive group, incredible. Basically, didn't even feel anything.
Really?
All day. Yeah.
Were your legs all right after?
Yeah, I was going quite quick yesterday as well.
Yeah, I heard that. Because
a lot of people came up, and they were like, so many people around the hotels and stuff were going, yeah, I'm going to run the marathon today. I'll do the half. I'll do the 10K or whatever. And they were looking at like your last couple of runs and you were doing like 8-minute kilometers. And everyone's like, no, I think I can keep up. And then you were just smashing it yesterday. And so many people were dropping off and giving up.
Yeah. I think the heat got a few people straight from the UK to Tunisia, and they're like, whoa.
Yeah. A
little bit spicy.
Well, people have been asking me around the town, like, how are you doing it? And my excuse is, now I'm a ginger in the sun. Which I realise holds no weight at all. What was the last kilometre like when you was coming up? And
oh, man, it was nuts. I think came over them hills at the end, saw the Med for the first time. You know, I've been running towards it for the last year and then finally saw it. It was all a bit overwhelming, to be honest. Just kind of thought about everything that we've gone through to try and get to this moment. And then it's, you know, finally here, it's just a bit like, wow, it feels like a video game right now.
Mm.
So yeah, like very emotional, man.
What was the first thing you felt as you went through that little bit of red tape?
Just like, wow, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of people here, isn't there? A lot of cameras there and all. Kind of nuts.
Were you expecting that as you came up, just to see everyone there?
I didn't expect that. I can't lie. It was crazy. You boys were there, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carnage.
There was a lovely moment when you just went down on the beach and just loads of people following you, and then you just jumped in the sea.
Yeah.
Some feeling, eh? What's next for us? What's next? What are you doing? I don't mean like the curry with the lads or whatever it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, like next challenge.
Yeah, because everyone's going to want to interview you and stuff like that. And yeah. We're fucking annoying like that, mate.
There was a viral tweet that went around a couple of weeks ago saying that the challenge was hard, but the tougher challenge is going to be all the podcasts.
Oh, yeah,
Stephen
tries, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you got a good one there. You got a good one.
Are you going to be doing pods and stuff?
Yeah. So I'm going to definitely take like a week or two off. Mm-hmm. And then I'll do a few. I don't want to milk it too hard. Like I don't want to bore people too much with all of it, you know. Once it's done, it's done. So, yeah, mate, I'm not sure. In terms of next challenge, it's going to be a hard one to kind of top. I don't really want to be away for another year anytime soon.
No.
So, you know, I'm sure there's loads of stuff I've got in the notes, you know.
Yeah.
Might tick that off, but... we'll wait and see. We'll be running more.
I was chatting to you. Definitely we'll be running more. I was chatting to you about 3 months in. I've got it here. And I asked you saying, what are you going to do next? And you said, I don't know if you remember what you said.
Nah.
You was probably eating some weird snake or something at the time. So you said, I'm going to hit up Elon and to get me to do laps of the moon.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
And normally that would be the ramblings of an absolute fucking madman, but I quite believe it.
The SpaceX sponsorship coming in tight there, right?
What has this challenge made you grateful for, Russ?
Man, I think one of the big things that being away for this kind of amount of time makes me grateful is just like, the UK. And I know it's kind of like one of them things where we, as British people, we just love to moan about the UK, like the weather shit, people shit, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have a lot of opportunity in the UK and it's, you know, so amazing, really, in a lot of ways. And yeah, I'm just like excited to go back home, really.
Superb. Is the beard and the hair staying? It's staying.
So.
Emily, are you happy with that? She's fine with that.
It looks good.
Do you reckon? Yeah.
Yeah.
A little tidy up.
Love
I do
it.
Need to trim the beard, eh? The beard's a bit.
I like the waves in the hair, though.
What?
I like his hair.
Are you talking to me?
No. Why?
I've just had a feeling you're talking to
me. Your hair has gone quite weird at this exact moment.
I know. Russ, and to the happy hour listeners, like I know everyone on Reddit was going, oh, do a four hour. Russ is such a sound guy that he literally has given us 3 hours today, but we're not going to take all that time because your friends and your family are out here. You've already been asked so many questions from so many different publications, but you've been so generous with your time, Russ. You're the first man to run Africa. How does that feel?
Pretty good, I guess. Job done. Mission complete.
Mate, absolute legend.
Top stuff,
this
boys.
Has been Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast with me, Jack Makes, Stevie White. And the main man, Russ Cook. I think from now on, when people ask me who my heroes are, your name's going to be in there. That's not, I'm not even being cheesy. Cheers, you're an absolute hero. On. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Nice one.
Oh, legend, man. Thank you. That was quality.
Mate, thanks for everything.
Thanks for giving us the time.
Jack Makes Happy Hour.